Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 11. Vishnur Dvija Kriya Mulo,
Vishnur Dvija Kriya Mulo,
Yagyo Dharmaya Puman,
Yagyo Dharmaya Puman,
Devarshi Pitre Bhutanam,
Devarshi Pitre Bhutanam,
Dharmasya Parayanam, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dvija, of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, Kriya Mula, whose root is the performance of Yajna and the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. Yajna, personify Yajna. Lord Vishnu was known as the Yajna Purusha. Dharma Maya, full of religious principles. Puman, the Supreme Person. Deva Rishi, of the demigods. And great rishis like Vyasadeva and Narada. Pitri, of the forefathers, Bhutanam, and of all of the living entities, Dharmasya, of the religious principles, Cha, also, Parayanam, the shelter, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pittas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will be encouraged, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yagyas. And thus the demigods, not being appeased by Yajna, will automatically die. Purport. Since Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu. For if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahminical culture would also be lost. With Brahminical culture lost, Yajna would no longer be performed. And for want of Yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajna bhavati parjanya. Thus, there would be disturbances all over the world. Naturally, the demigods would be defeated. From this verse, we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmanas are stopped. Kalo Shudra Sampava. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost and is extremely difficult to reestablish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. Hari Narama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Vakevala, Kalo Nashteva, Nashteva, Nashteva Gantyanita. Because of the increment in demoniac population, people have lost Brahminical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the government reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effect of Kali Yuga, the Shastra, Bhagavatam 12:2-13 says, Dasya Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the politics of dasyus, or plunderers. Thus there will be no instructions for the brahmanas. Thus there will be no instructions from the brahmanas, and even if there are brahminical instructions, there will be no kshatriyas, rulers, who can follow them. Aside from Satya Yuga, even formerly, in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government and thus create chaos all over the world. Although this, in Satyayuga, the plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement or the Hare Krishna Movement has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life, prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from Brahmananda Purana. Vipra yagadi mulam tu harir it yasuram madham harir eva hi sarvasya mulam samyan mitto ripa. O king, the demons think that Lord Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmanas and the Yajna. But factually, Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmanas and Yajna. Therefore, although through the popularizing of Hari Kirtan, or the Sankirtan movement, the Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back. People will be extremely happy. Vishnur Dvija Kriya Mulo Yagyo Dharma Maya Puman Devarshir Pitri Bhutanam Dharma Sita Parayanam. The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pittas, and the people in general. When the Brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the Kshatriyas to perform yajnas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. We can notice that in the seventh canto, we're not hearing about Krishna Leela in the spiritual sky, the Rasa dance, Krishna with the gopis. What we're hearing about is Kalo Sudra Sambhava, that practically everyone is a Shudra by birth, and as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, by modern education, one is trained up to become less than an animal. So that's the current society. In the Vedic culture, there are four purusharthas. There is dharma, there is artha, kama, and moksha. The kshatriyas take charge of dharma, seeing that dharma, religious principles, are carried out. The vaishyas are supposed to take care of artha. The shudras, they help out with kama. And the Brahmins are in charge of moksha. For in this age, there are no kshatriyas, so there is no dharmic principles being enacted by the government. And there is no Brahmins. So people don't know that the aim of life is to obtain liberation from the material concept of life. They think the aim of life is to become absorbed in the material concept of life. And so all you have is many, many Shudras interested in sense gratification and a few Vaishyas to trick them. Because the Vaishyas have taken over the position of the, well, they don't, haven't taken over, they pay the rulers. The rulers are just Shudras being paid by the few Vaishyas, so-called Vaishyas. And the Brahmins, so-called Brahmins, are also being paid. They're all Shudras. Therefore, everyone is just interested in money for sense gratification. In other words, the Brahmins, so-called educators of Shudras, the rulers of Shudras, the people in general are Shudras, and there's a few people tricking everyone. In other words, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, in this world there's simply the cheaters and the cheated. And most people are being cheated because instead of understanding what the goal of life is, they've been misled. Andaya tandera pigimanas te pisha tantra urudami bara. They're blind, and their leaders are blind, and they simply are getting themselves deeper into trouble. So the very means of running society is based upon falsehood. The opposite of Brahminical culture, the only thing left in Kali Yuga is truthfulness. Truthfulness ultimately means to accept Krishna as the controller, Krishna as the enjoyer, Krishna as the friend. But they're falsely advertising that they're the controllers, that they're the enjoyers, and that they're friends, and that they can make other people enjoyers and controllers too. And because people are fools, therefore they're misled by this false propaganda that the people who are actually trying to take everything away from them and create and simply make them into slaves, which is generally what happens when Shudras are misled, these very people who are, they're claiming they're the saviors. They create a situation where the Shudras are put into difficulty, and then they come out and they say, we're going to save you. But actually, if these were, the rulers weren't there, there wouldn't be the difficulties to be saved from. But people are so fooled that they actually take shelter of these people, and therefore they become more and more enslaved. Just like we're in a modern, we're in a situation where huge, practically the whole world is going to be cheated, and they're thinking they're being saved. In America, they just passed some bill where they gave $2 trillion as a stimulus package. And they gave themselves, namely the banks gave themselves, the Federal Reserve Bank gave them, at least the first time, $4 trillion. So the entire America, their gross national product is $4.2 trillion a year. And these banks just awarded themselves $4 trillion. So that's very kind of them. So what does that mean? Where did this money come from? We have to work, if we have to get some money, generally most people have to work for it. They get $10 an hour. They don't get $4 trillion an hour. So where does it come from? It came from nowhere. What it came from is that it's simply stealing people's money, that's all. Because I may have a piece of paper and it says €10 on it. So I think I have €10 and maybe it can buy a meal at Govinda's. But you can just type in a couple of letters into your computer, a couple of numbers, or six or seven numbers, eight, ten numbers, into your computer, and now you have $4 trillion, or $4 trillion, whatever it is. And now my ten euros is only worth €5. Because you have another €10, and so the price of Govinda's goes up. Now it's €20 for a meal, and you have 10 of those. So now I have to get €20. In other words, the value of the meal is €10, but now two people have €20 for the same amount of money. So now I'm going to raise it to €20, and you only have €10, so you can only get a half a meal. And I got your other half a meal by doing nothing but typing a couple of numbers into a computer. And not only that, I not only got your meal, I got everyone's meal. And they're saying, oh, they're so kind, they're giving us, you know, they're sending $1,000 to our home. They just stole, you know, our whole income, half of our income, in one scoop. And then they steal $20,000 of your savings, and they give you back $1,000. And you're saying, oh, you're so kind. So this is because people are sinful. And why are they sinful? Because instead of following Brahminical culture, which we know is Sama, Dhamma, Tapaso, Cham, Shanti, Arjuna, Evacha, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Astikyam, Brahma, Karma, Sabhavajam. So what is Brahminical culture? Begins with Sama Dhamma Tapaso Shantir Arjumam. Arjumam, truthfulness. People aren't, they're liars, cheaters. Not only the leaders, but even the people. If you go on the street and you ask people, give people a book and ask them for a donation, first thing that comes out of most people's mouths is a lie. They all have no money. Oh, just give whatever you can. All right, I'll give you something. You open the wallet and, you know, 300 euros falls out. Oh, I thought you had no money. Oh, no, no, that's not my money. I'm holding it for my friend. So people lie in general. They've been trained up how to become liars in order to survive in modern society. The leaders are cheaters and liars, and so their followers are also cheaters and liars. And the ultimate lie is that they think that they're their body, and the aim of life is to exploit others, and that there's no God, and therefore there's no truthfulness. And there's no cleanliness. People are simply lusty, angry, greedy, deluded, envious. Their whole consciousness is contaminated, so obviously their activities are also going to be contaminated. And to clean things physically, they use alcohol, the most contaminating substance that there is. They think by cleaning with alcohol, they're actually making things clean. But they're, because their minds are so distorted and corrupted, and therefore there's no cleanliness. There's no truthfulness. There's no cleanliness. The two most important aspects of Brahminical culture, instead people are becoming dirtier. In England, they went around and they did an investigation and they took samples from every public place that they could find within England, and where they discovered that the whole place is full of stool. It's covered with stool. People pass stool, they don't wash their hands, and they touch everything, and they simply, everything is contaminated. And they dress very nicely because they want to make sure people think that they're clean. They may wash their clothes every day. They even wash their bodies, whatever. But they don't wash their hands after they pass stool. Therefore, everything is unclean, everything is untruthful. And as far as austerity, sama, dhamma, sense and mind control, they can't control their senses. Therefore, they eat anything, anywhere, anytime. And even they become a vegetarian, they become a vegan. They become envious of the cow that they're supposedly compassionate to. They become envious of the bull. They become envious of people who are trying to drink milk, saying that you're actually hurting the cow, even though the milk is offered to Krishna, because they don't believe in Krishna. They think they have a better diet than Krishna has. So there's no austerity, there's no cleanliness, there's no truthfulness. And as far as cheating, gambling, or as far as mercy, if you're not clean, if you're not truthful, if you're not austere, then how can you actually be merciful? You're not even merciful to yourself, what to speak of anyone else. Really merciful. Because they don't know actually what mercy is. Sama dhamma tapa socham shantir. They're not tolerant. So if you're not tolerant, how can you be merciful? They're not even tolerant. Arjuna eva jnanam vijnanam. They have no knowledge, no realized knowledge. There's no astikyam. There's no religious principles. They make up their own religious principles. So, in this situation, where there's no Brahminical culture, things would be rather bleak. Instead, people are... Their leaders are driving people to hell and they're happy to go there. they're being cheated, and they're actually thinking they're making, you know, the leaders are their friends. But they're, as Prabhupada said, they're dasus. They're plunderers. They're being plundered, and people are actually thinking that they're actually helping them. So this is complete illusion. Just like Prabhupada gives the other example of dasus, that generally speaking, if you're walking on the street and someone takes a gun and holds it to you and asks for your money, you protest, maybe, if they don't shoot you. But if your wife and children come and pick your pocket, you say, oh, how much they love me. Although they're called legitimate dasus, plunderers. So the whole material world is simply people are in the mood of exploitation. Even you get a job, you sell your soul to the boss who sold his soul to who's ever running whatever else it is, and they're all doing something for exploitation. The big countries are exploiting the other countries. And if anyone protests, then they liberate them by sending over their B-12 bombers, whatever it is. How dare you insult the Supreme, blaspheme against the Supreme. So in this situation, as it says, the only hope is the chanting of the holy name. But we have to get people to chant the holy name. First of all, we have to chant the holy name. If we don't chant the holy name, then why will we get anyone else to do it? If we don't understand how to chant, how to actually get an experience from chanting, how are we going to convince anyone else to chant? It's not just like a mechanical process that you chant and somehow or another, you know, at the end of life you get your payment. Oh, he did 16 rounds every day. What do we owe him? Oh, send him to Indraloka. Okay. No, the chanting itself is supposed to be an experience, and we're supposed to learn how to get an experience by the chanting of the holy names, so we become enthusiastic to teach others how to get the same experience. That experience includes experiencing Krishna, experiencing his internal spiritual pleasure energy, Srimati Radharani. So we're chanting and we're not experiencing Srimati Radharani in Krishna's presence, means what we're doing something wrong. And therefore, Prabhupada posted there, there are 10 offenses. So it's not just chanting, we have to learn how to become offenseless. And part of that is our relationships with the other devotees, how we see things. If we've been trained up as dasus, we have our big dasus, like Hiranyakashipu here, and we had the other little dasus, all his friends, the demons. And then we had one Prahlad amidst them, the fire in the midst of the forest. So we have to stop being dasus also, exploiters of others, and change our vision as trying to get people, inspire them to chant Hare Krishna and to do it offenselessly, not to blaspheme the devotees. We have to give up that bad habit of criticizing others, especially the devotees. This foolish understanding that actually Krishna doesn't exist and that others are controlling the universe. That when bad things are happening, we think, well, where's Krishna? Well, Krishna is making the bad things happening because that's what people deserve and that's what they need in order to wake up. If you keep on doing the wrong thing, you get rewarded for it, then that would be foolish, who's ever doing that. So because people are doing the wrong thing, Krishna will chastise them through his material nature until they wake up and realize that they should stop doing the wrong things. In Europe here, they decided that the reason why there is climate change, is like now it's so cold, is because of CO2 gas. And the reason why there's so much sugar, the main reason why there's so much CO2 gas is that the cows are passing gas. So their solution is to kill the cows. Haranyakashipus. Adharmam dharm iti ya manyase tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitam va. This is Buddhist Partha Tamasi. They think religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion. And therefore, they always strive in the wrong direction. This is called intelligence in the mode of ignorance. So we're surrounded, and we ourselves, by people with intelligence in the mode of ignorance, and we ourselves have been trained like that. But we have to get out of that training and accept real training, so we can accept our eternal position, the eternality of Krishna, and our duty to spread this movement. Because otherwise, if we don't spread this movement, we're also dull. We're also going to get the reactions for all the people, what people are, the ignorance that's pervading in modern society, because we're also in ignorance. We also don't really value the holy name. We don't value the Brahminical culture. We don't value everything part of what we're given. And therefore, we're not as effective as we can be to actually give this to others. And therefore, society is going to hell. And we may not go to hell with it, but we'll surely get a, you know, we're seeing it happening. We're living in it. We don't have to wait for our next lifetime. We're living in a hellish condition. So we have to be responsible, at least do the best we can to try to give this to others, try to accept it for ourselves, so we can become inspired to give it to others, this chanting of the holy name, and then that could actually gradually change things. But along with that, Brahminical culture has to be established so people are not envious, people are not deluded, they're not untruthful. They don't, because people are untruthful because they don't know what the truth is. They don't know the value of being truthful. They don't get anything in what they consider to be truthful, because truthful in this age means you tell the truth and whoever you're telling it to takes everything away from you. You tell the government how much you have, then they just take everything away from you in tax and say thanks a lot and use it to build a bigger battleship to make sure other people who are truthful don't disturb the society. Like Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu considered him a disturbance because he was telling the truth. So we shouldn't expect that the people who are running this society, they're actually going to appreciate it when we tell the truth, that Krishna is God. But when we act like they do, we become so, we just accept everything that they're saying, then they'll think we're very nice because we're useless. We're not a threat. We're just another person that they can exploit. Therefore, the conclusion is we should not only chant the holy name, but we should learn this philosophy so that we can change our consciousness and chant purely and actually have the potency to convince others to also take up the holy name, not just on the Sunday feast, but chant it in their homes. Live life in such a way in their homes that they actually become inspired to chant, that they turn off the television set. They stop going on Facebook with useless things. They stop surfing the internet. They actually have time to hear and chant about Krishna. They take that seriously. They take that as a happiness of life with the family. Not some, you know, everyone has their mobile phone and they don't even talk to each other. They just talk, they text each other. They think this is normal. So we have to introduce real family life, real social life, real personal life, and then society can be redirected, at least a good portion of the society can be redirected. And people will be able to see what's the difference between life and the so-called shadow that people are living in nowadays. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
About this enviousness of the cow and the bull, could you please say a few words? I didn't quite grasp it.
The people are envious of the cow and the bull? Well, they don't want to offer their food, their milk to Krishna, because they won't drink milk. They're having this propaganda that milk is bad. If you offer your milk to Krishna, then there is no God. So therefore, the cow doesn't get any benefit. That we ourselves are God. We decide, you know, what we eat, what we don't eat, because we don't offer anything to Krishna. Or even if you're a vegan, you offer your food to Krishna, but then we don't accept the scripture. That scripture says that the cow's milk is the most important food for cultivating a higher consciousness. So we deny that. Of course, there may be better grades of milk, but to rule that milk is bad, it's meant for the calf. Well, Krishna drank milk. He's not a calf. Prabhupada drank milk. Acharyas drank milk. It's simply a new idea, some concocted idea. And if they're a vegan, even if someone is a vegan, then what are they doing to help the bull? They think we're going to stop drinking milk, that's going to save the cow. But what are they doing for the bull? They're so compassionate. What are they doing for all the children being aborted? What about all the countries that are being invaded in order to steal their resources? What are they doing for them? Probably nothing. They're so compassionate. So actually they're not helping the cow. They're not even helping, they're certainly not helping the bull. They're not helping other people. Who are they helping? They're not even helping themselves. Because they don't have the higher brain power to understand things clearly. So even for them, we just try to chant Hare Krishna. We try to get them to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly, hopefully in the future, and then things will be clearer to them. Yes, the cow should be protected, but it takes people to do that. And if they're really serious about protecting the cow, then they should stop exploiting others and spend their time trying to protect the cow. But they're talking about exploitation of the cow, but they're busy trying to figure out how to exploit each other. Anything else? Yes.
You've mentioned we should stop being little plunderers ourselves, and you've said about selling the soul of the workers and their bosses to higher bosses and owners of means of production ultimately. Well, what about Karl Marx spoke about owner of the means of production hiring a worker and paying him his maintenance wage, and the rest of the value produced, which comes from his work, is turned into profit. I mean, this might be applicable for... is this applicable for devotee's art? Or is... I mean, obviously Marx was wrong about his... in regard to his notions of religion. Although some parts might be useful, but is this...
Yeah, we're not into... Well, Prabhupada said this is spiritual communism, but we don't agree with Karl Marx. Because the problem is that they're all Shudras, and even the Vaishyas, they're hardly really Vaishyas. The problem is that they're not offering the things to Krishna. If they got a profit and they gave it to Krishna, it would be perfect. But they themselves are just using it for their sense gratification, gross or subtle. So they're also Shudras. The problem is Shudras shouldn't be given the profit because they'll misuse it. But then again, these people who are taking the profit, they're also misusing it because they're not using it for Krishna. So So in a perfect society, yes, the Vaishyas make a profit, but they give it to the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins to use for yajna, for sacrifice for Vishnu. And therefore the whole society becomes prosperous.
But if devotees don't do that, they are no better than...
If they don't do what?
If they don't receive...
If they don't pass over the profit to the ones who can use it for yajna, then they are no better than other owners of production, probably. Or what?
Yeah, of course. Then everyone gets it. If we're Prabhupada, he wanted us to utilize our assets in Krishna service. Otherwise, if we're yajna, if we don't use it for yajna, then we become thieves, and we will be punished also. And the main punishment is we won't get a taste for chanting the holy name. That's the main punishment. All the other punishments were just to inspire us to give up our bad habits so we can get a taste for chanting the holy name. Anything else? One more. Okay.
I'm sorry. You're oftentimes speaking about feeling Krishna's presence. If you chant in the right way, also in commentaries, Srila Prabhupada mentions in many parts, what that means. That might be a concoction, feeling somebody's presence, or what, if you can be more precise, maybe. So
precise. Well, Prabhupada said, chant like a child calling for its mother. No, the experience of experiencing Krishna, just like we're chanting Hare Krishna, we may not be completely in the fire, but we can see there's a change of our consciousness. Otherwise, how is it possible that we follow the four regular principles if we're not somewhat above the material energy? So there must be something, an experience in chanting. So it's a question of how, just like the sun may be there, we may get a little warm, may not be so warm, but if you concentrate the sun rays, then it becomes very powerful. So we concentrate on chanting, and we chant with some feeling, understanding who Krishna is and who Srimati Radharani is, who we are. We chant with some understanding. Then we'll experience something. And that experience is Subhada Kleshagni. We can see the difference between relief from material distress because of giving out the propensity for sinful activities, and positive happiness. We don't know what the difference is, and it's obviously not spiritual, because there's a big difference between spiritual and material. And that will be experienced. Bhakti Pureshanu Vyaktir Anyatra Trika Eka Kala Pravanamanasi Tashna Tasus Tushti Pushti Shudapaya Nugasam. That just like when you eat a meal, with every bite there is growing strength, alleviation of hunger and satisfaction. So with the proper execution of devotional service, chanting attentively and feelingly, sincerely, then one can see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. One becomes detached from things that draw one's mind away from Krishna. And one feels growing love for Krishna and everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. So the process is there. 10 offenses are there. The chanting is there. So we follow it and then we'll experience it. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.